Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the greatest AdWords consultant trainer on the planet, and now the greatest AdWords video trainer on the planet, the great Chris Schaefer.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Paid Search Podcast, my weekly dose of Jason, which is what I, you know, by Wednesday, I'm sad, I'm missing it, but I'm so glad to have Thursdays. That's when we record the show. For you guys, it comes out on Monday, but for us, we record on Thursdays. And Jason, it's good to see you again. How are things?
Well, things are good with me. I'm thinking about tweeting out an affiliate link to the Optimizer reporting software every month on the 1st, because I feel like that's when people have a lot of pain in their lives as AdWords
first of the month,
employees and managers. And I've been talking to you and some other agency and owners and freelancers. You sounded pretty beaten down the middle of this week, Chris.
Yeah.
Around the 1st.
Yeah. Fellow AdWords managers out there can attest to the stress levels that hit at the 1st of the month. You know, everybody's got to get their reports out. Billings have got to go out. Client reports. And then clients have questions. You know, yeah, it's something that we all deal with. And then you move on to week 2 and things are cheery again.
I figured out, Chris, that I am extremely busy from the 25th day of the month to the 5th day of the month, those 10 days, and then the other two-thirds of the month, the 6th through the 24th, that's where I kind of have a normal schedule. But that I've noticed that 10-day period is kind of my busy period.
Yeah.
Month to month.
Things, you got to start cranking up on things, figuring out what's going to happen, where's it going to go, budgets are slowing down, got to get everything in, and then crunch time comes. Yeah. Well, Jason, today... Yep.
Now, Chris, first I want to say something. This episode, as always, is brought to you by Directive Consulting. Directive is the number one B2B and enterprise search marketing agency. They do search, they do content, they do SEO. And we recommend you guys go get a free custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com. So we thank them for being today's sponsor. Now, today we're going to do a deep dive on urgent care and clinics, and my little amateur horse over there is going to give us a lot of tips because he has some current urgent care clients, and I have not done one of those campaigns in a long time. But first, we're going to read today's comment of the week. It happened to come from the YouTube channel. Her name is Amber, and Amber wrote on the YouTube channel, "Such a horrible comment. Poor Jason, you're a handsome guy, and I would not, all caps, call you overweight. Chris already gets the compliments about his looks. I honestly feel bad for the fact that you don't get as many compliments. I'm glad you can laugh it off and be comfortable with yourself because I think you both are awesome. No need for either of you to change because if you change your appearance too much, you'll also likely change your personality. And you two are awesome just the way you are." So we thank you, Amber, for that comment of the week. And that, Chris, that comment just is such a great example and highlight of how we are the number one Google Ads podcast on
the internet. How is that?
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what that means. What does that have to do with it?
All right.
So, all right, Jason, here we go. We'll try. Oh, here. Yep. He's got his little cup.
No, Chris, I'm having my coffee, but whatever was in the coffee last week was not in the coffee this week. Like, I honestly wasted my potential on the Paid Search Podcast last week. I could have sold an igloo to an Eskimo. Like, I could have sold anything to anybody, dude, last week. And I just wasted it here on the show. But I was in killer mode. I don't know what that was about, but that was fun. So, Chris, first, let's just start off here. We're going to, for everyone listening, we're going to go down this structure here. Campaigns, ad groups, keywords, bids, and just overall business advice when it comes to urgent care clinics and Google Ads. We're going to do a deep dive. We do deep dives on any industry you guys want. Just send us a comment at
paidsearchpodcast.com. This was a request from a,
what you want us to talk
from a
about.
Listener.
iTunes. Yeah, I think this was an iTunes review on the PPC Questions and Answers show on iTunes, which is our other podcast. And we'll do a deep dive on anything. We like to mix them in. And at this point in our history, 122 episodes in, we have gotten to the point where we know you guys know that there's manual and automated bid options. We know you guys know that you can do radius locations and city locations, all that kind of stuff. So when we do our deep dives now, we're going to go through each of those topics in Google Ads, but we're going to really try to emphasize the things that are unique or different about this industry as opposed to just giving you the standard overview of the basic options. We're doing a deep dive here. So if you want the kind of higher or earlier learning stuff, if you're not that advanced, we got plenty of episodes for that. But these are the deep dives where we really get into the specific tips. So Chris, with that said, give us your background on urgent care clinics. Have you had a lot of clients? Do they have a lot of success at Google Ads? Do you think it's a good fit for Google Ads? What's your overall take on the industry with Google Ads?
Yeah, I mean, there's some clients, some industries that aren't great for AdWords. I mean, that's the truth of it. Sometimes they're not a good fit. And urgent care is the exact opposite of that. I feel like AdWords is the perfect solution for urgent care facilities, because this is a perfect example of I need something and I need it now. And that's where Google fits really well. I feel like a lot of companies that fall into that research area that try and reach people that don't know their product exists and they can't quite find that niche on the right kind of keywords to show up for, it's difficult, but this is not the case. People know that there is a hospital nearby. They're going to search hospital near me, closest hospital, urgent care near me, ERs near me. And when that happens, they're going to be looking for the top results here. And if you are at the top, you're going to get a call. I mean, it comes down to that. Or they're just going to show up at your facility with their broken leg or whatever incident they have happening. So it's a perfect fit. I've had a lot of experience in it. And I've worked with other, several different clients and companies. And I'll tell you, it's fast moving. It often becomes high spending, high competitive, just like anything else. If it's important to be at the top, that means there's going to be some competition, because there's only one first place and everybody else goes after that. So it's really important to make sure that you are aggressive and that you show up and be as conservative as you can without going beyond the ideal keywords. When I say conservative as you can, don't go after like broken leg. I'll get more into this later, but be as conservative as you can with the right kind of keywords, because the spending will get out of hand quickly. You will get very low search impression shares because there's plenty of volume, plenty of traffic. And I'll get into that a little bit later, but that's a little bit about my experience with it. If it's out there, if there's volume on it, if you're in an area that's going to have searches on it, which most medium to gigantic size cities are going to have searches like that, then it's a prime opportunity.
Chris, I can already see the search terms across urgent care campaigns across the world. It's just, I could see how it'd be so easy for people to mess it up and show up on searches like how to cure my cold or what should I drink for my sore throat, stuff like that. And then also, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I work with a lot of moving companies. Movers are a great fit for AdWords because people don't have a brand name in mind. They need to get it done, and they look at every mover basically as the same or as however they want to present themselves, because you don't have anything built up in your mind. And with urgent care, Chris, I've been to multiple urgent care clinics over the years when I have a cold or whatever. Couldn't tell you anything about their brand name. It's just you need the medicine, basically. And it's urgent. It's in the name. And that when there's not a lot of brand equity built up in an industry and someone needs it now, Google is a great fit. And I know you don't like hearing the word moments, Chris. You're kind of you've heard that a little too much, but this is a moment where Google is a great fit on that cell phone because urgent care. So Chris, you mentioned big cities, and I hear from people all the time in big cities. They talk to little old me in Oklahoma City, and they try to describe like Houston or Los Angeles, and they talk to me like I'm an idiot. And they say, well, the thing that you got to understand about Houston is that when you live on one side of Houston, you don't usually drive across town to the other side because they have all the stuff you need on your side of town. And you don't want to drive in traffic for an hour and a half to go to the same place you could go near you. Or, the thing about Los Angeles is you don't typically drive across town for things.
Yeah.
No duh. Like, family friendly. No duh. Yeah. Like, what do you think? I'm an idiot just because I don't live in a megatropolis? So, and that applies to huge cities, but it also applies to a place like Tampa or a place like Oklahoma City. If I'm sick, I don't want to be in a car driving for 45 minutes across town. I need something nearby because I want to get treated now. So that's how I'm thinking about locations. You mentioned specifically don't cannibalize your own location. So let's get into the campaign structure. And what do you mean by don't cannibalize your own location?
Yeah. So guys, we're going to start at high level, and then we're going to work our way down eventually into specifics that are going to work best for this urgent care industry. So number one is, how do you structure your campaigns? One of the things that I see all the time is there will be clients that have multiple facilities. Maybe in a big city, there might be multiple that tend to overlap. Maybe you have a facility over here on one side of town, another one over here, and your range is 20 miles and they start to overlap. Okay. First thing you need to do is you need to make a decision about, how am I going to approach this? Am I going to have a landing page for each one? And I'm going to make sure there's no overlap. I need plenty of gap there. I'm going to have definitive lines between this is your territory and this is your territory. That's it. You don't overlap. Okay, that's one option. Different pages for different ones. The other option is this. If you say, well, listen, people are very fluid, which is, I think this is the better solution, by the way. People are very fluid.
I think we're like 98% water.
There you go. That's not true. It's not that much, is it? It's like 70? Isn't it like 70 or something?
No, I think when you look at somebody, I think it's clear that I am 98% water.
You are. Okay? You're 98% water. You're 98% caffeine right now. Okay, so people will move from one area to another, and their searches don't necessarily represent where they live. Okay, so they'll drive to one area for work, drive to another area for, you know, to drop off the kids at daycare or something like that. You know, so their searches are very fluid. So it's impossible to define an area and say, show them this page when they're in this area, because they could be searching for work, but they need an ER for home, which is in another area. So my solution, if this is the case, if you have close ERs, your best solution is going to be to point them to a page that lists locations. It's going to say, here's what we provide. Okay. Every location's the same. They all offer the same services. And you essentially list the services that they can provide. But then in addition to that, it's like, okay, now that you know what we offer, here's our locations. Here, here, here. A person does not have to get sent to a page that just has one location on it. It says, here's our locations. You choose which one is best for you. Maybe they put in a zip code, or maybe it's just a listing of address with a map and a phone number for each one, you know, something like that. So
that's if they're like clustered up and there's a,
they're clustered up. Yeah.
Town.
Now, if you just have one in one city and that's all it is, and that basically covers 100-mile radius or 80-mile radius, 50-mile radius, then of course none of this matters to you, and that, you know, that's not going to be an issue. But that's something I've seen in the past.
Now, if I have, say I have four in just a megatropolis like Houston or something like that, I've got four clinics. Would you recommend I do a radius around each of the four if they're somewhat spread out? And that way, if someone does a search when they're in like North Houston, they see the North Houston one?
No, I really don't. I mean, I found that it gets really confusing. If you can imagine, jump a year down the road, this is where the cannibalization comes in by location. You know, people move. I mean, I used to live in Houston, no longer live in Houston, but I know that people will drive 30, 45 minutes to go into Houston for work, which is the case for any big city. I mean, commuters, even small cities have that too. They'll drive into a medium city. So you cannot rely on the person's geographic location to define what area they're actually interested in. So if you have multiple facilities in a big area, send them to a centralized page, you know, that's going to just list all the locations. Let them choose. Because in reality, their GPS, their keyword search, it's just going to be too cluttered. It's going to be difficult to manage.
My final location question, coming from a client perspective, say I have one location and I'm in a city like mid-sized city, Indianapolis, Oklahoma City, Tampa, something like that. And I say I'm starting out on Google Ads, so I'm not going to spend $10,000 in the first month. I'm working with Chris Schaefer. I did a training hour with him. I liked what I heard. I'm going to hire him to manage my ads. I've got $3,000 a month to get into AdWords with. Are you going to do like a 15-mile radius around the whole city and go big to start? Or are you going to start super small around that one clinic that I have, in a case where I have one clinic, and see if you can spend the budgets in a small location around the clinic? What would you do with one clinic?
That's interesting. This I'm going to answer based on just my experience. and you, I think, Jason, you'll probably agree, it's always really difficult to tell a client that you're going to
talk about leading right there. That's some that's dark.
No, tell me, tell
stuff,
me.
That... I know what you're doing to me. I think you're going to agree. You don't know if
you're a
agree
smart
or not,
man.
Just,
you're going to
God,
agree.
That was dark.
Okay, so tell me if this isn't true. But a client will definitely fight back if you try and tell them you're pulling their geographic targeting down. You are limiting their geographic targeting to a smaller area. I don't think I ever hear clients say, Chris, I feel like we're reaching too far out, too many people. Will you pull it back down to a smaller area? That never happens. What I always hear is, Chris, I need you to add another 30-mile radius to this. I need you to add this area. I need you to add this area. I want to reach more. They grow. It's very rarely shrinking. Right. So my thought is, start small. See where your search impression share lands. See how much volume you're going to get. Then grow. Because once you grow...
Okay, that's my business perspective too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to own my little location.
Yeah. That's my thoughts there when it comes to how big, you know, how far to reach. So...
Okay, now that's talking about locations here. What are you doing generally with your campaign structure? Like, do you have multiple campaigns for brand or non-brand? Do you target competitors? How many campaigns are you making? And let's go with like the one clinic example.
Yeah. So yeah, let's say that there's one clinic in one city and that covers it all. So first thing you should always have is just a general search campaign that's going to go after urgent clinics, geographic term plus urgent clinics, geographic term plus ER, stuff like that. That's your non-brand generic search campaign. You know, of course, that's people who haven't heard of you. Okay. Now we get into the ugly stuff. We'd mentioned how competitive this industry is. It's ugly because people are fighting for that first position. This is an emergency. This is something people don't want to shop around. You know, the medicine is the medicine. Just provide me the services. I just need someone that's close and can provide the services that I need. Typically, it's the first ad they see. So because this is the first ad, competitors will bid against your own brand name. They'll bid against your name. And what I often end up doing is bidding against their name. So there is a competitor campaign, there's a brand campaign, and then there's a generic non-brand search campaign as well. So three different campaigns is probably a good guess. Honestly, if someone's not bidding against your own brand name, don't start the battle. There's no reason to start the war if it's not happening. If they're not bidding against you and you don't have to bid on your own brand name, stay out of it. Just because I know how ugly it gets once it starts. You'll end up spending a third, a half of your budget on that competitor and brand name stuff. And then nobody wins.
But those convert?
Oh, yeah, they convert. They do convert. But, you know, gosh, it gets so ugly. Then we start struggling on budget for non-brand. You know, it starts pulling budget away from non-brand.
Do you think there's a lot of unintended wars that happen because of the word urgent care phrase match, and everyone has urgent care clinic part of their brand name? So if I'm called the Sunshine Urgent Care Clinic, people who target the word urgent care phrase match are going to show on my name because of the phrase.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of that is like mistaken wars that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, just like if you have your industry in part of your company name, it's going to cause problems. Absolutely. Because there's no way that you can search for your company name without including that industry term. And yeah, people are going to show up. So yeah, that's a good point. That could very well be the case. People think they're being bid against, but in reality, it's just that core term that's showing up. So.
Okay. Well, Chris, you have seriously piqued my interest here. I can tell you've worked with this a lot, thought a lot about it, and just how much you've thought about campaign structure and location. I can't wait to dig into ad groups, keywords, bids, extensions, all that kind of stuff. But first, I want to take a second and talk about today's sponsor, Directive Consulting, the go-to B2B search marketing agency. Today, I want to tell you about a growth story they had with an enterprise-level marketing execution software, marketing execution system. This was a software company founded in 1997 that provides marketing execution system software to enterprise clients. And it sounds like something I want to look at. I love these marketing softwares, and they sell their product on a global basis. And basically they needed more leads from specifically North America, then Europe, and then Asia. That was their priority list. And the way Directive was able to get them more leads from Google was to do two things. They basically looked for their best converting keywords that they were already getting a little bit of SEO kind of juice with traffic from. And they did two things. They started targeting those winning keywords with a PPC campaign, a search campaign. At the same time, they did a lot of on-site technical SEO work, including a lot of work with the title tags, header tags, and the descriptions that show up in the organic rankings to increase the click-through rates. And the whole goal of that on-site SEO work to try to get a higher click-through rate on the organic traffic and the PPC work in terms of the search keywords to target, the whole goal was to come at the search results page two-pronged. They wanted to be there with SEO and the organic listings and get a higher market share with the higher click-through rate. And then they wanted to be there with PPC at the top of the page in the ads. And so they wanted basically to get as high a market share from their winning keywords as possible. They did that strategy in North America. They did it in Europe. They did it in Asia. And that two-pronged approach was able to get this software company an increase in conversions of 148% year over year. They lowered their AdWords cost per conversion by 147%, and their increase in monthly paid leads from AdWords went up 457%. So Directive did this for this enterprise software company. I bet they can do it for you too. They offer free custom proposals at directiveconsulting.com. Chris and I recommend you guys go get a free custom proposal. The thing I like about Directive is when they go after the search engine results page for you, they go after it. They do it with AdWords, they do it with SEO, and they do it with content. So we thank Directive for sponsoring today's episode. And again, guys, free custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com. And we will have a link straight to their website in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the podcast description. So Chris, we've got our campaign structure, brand, the normal search keywords, and then if someone else has started the war, you will go to war and you will do competitors. Talk about the ad group structure. When I think of urgent care, Chris, I think of easy. I think of Easy Street for an AdWords manager. Someone searching for an urgent care clinic, you have a keyword like urgent care. Is it more complicated than that? Or is it as simple as it sounds?
No, Jason, I think you're right. Well, first, I don't think it's Easy Street because as this next point, we'll talk about it right after this, gets into, there's plenty of mistakes people make. But in reality, as you would expect, there's only so many ways that you can search for urgent care, emergency room, ER, medical care, stuff like that. So no, I don't think that this is overly complex. You know, there's not, you don't need 600 keywords here. You know, this is fairly simple and straightforward with the type of keywords. That's what makes this a difficult industry, and it makes money going to be a factor, you know, because it comes down to bids and placement and ranking. So you're going to need money to back it up. So variety is not the case here, but here's what happens. I see people.
Oh, I've been tricked, Chris, because it seems easy because there's no keywords to target. There's like five ways to search for this. But are you saying that's what makes it hard? That there's only five ways to search for this?
Yeah.
Because that everyone's doing
it? Good
point.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because you know what you're talking about. You know, you've been there. I mean, if there's only five different words to target, then we're in trouble.
Right.
Because now you've got a more complicated situation because the lack of variety. That means supply and demand. If there's less supply on keywords and there's high demand on those keywords, you're going to have to hit those keywords mm-hmm. pretty hard. You're going to have to put bids in the teens for just a click for a possible medical visit. I mean, that's a lot, you know, $20, $15.
Moving companies, everyone's targeting the word movers in Oklahoma City, but my client can do piano moves, so we can target piano moves. They can do office moves, so we can target office moves. That's more laser focused and less relevant. If you're a plumber, you got emergency plumbing, you have repairs, stuff like that. There's no options here, Chris. It's like five keywords. So how do you overcome that competitiveness?
Well, Jason, that.
Or is there a way to overcome it? Do you just go to war?
Yeah, I mean, you can build the best campaign that you can possibly build. You have good landing pages. You have high conversion rates. You have call extensions enabled. You have everything that you can possibly do to incite a call or a conversion of some kind for that visit. But in reality, it just comes down to being the guy that shows up, you know, and sometimes for things like this, it just has to do with money. I wouldn't say that there's some secret backdoor way to get your ads to show. It's just going to come down to, to making sure that you show up for the best terms.
So you're saying you don't have a list of 1,000 long tail keywords that have 10-cent cost per click in this industry?
I'm not holding anything back. Yeah, you're exactly right. Okay. Jason's being silly because he knows people think that there's some kind of long tail secret. Somebody's going to call them and say, "Hey, I noticed you have urgent care. I have a special list of keywords that are guaranteed to provide high conversion rates and wonderful returns. And these are special secret terms." That is a load of crap. That is absolutely not true. Right. It comes down to it. The same words are likely to convert for the same type of urgent care clinics in that area. I'm not going to say that everything works everywhere, no matter what the location. I'm just saying this type of situation, there's not a whole lot of variety.
You got to be there. You got to pay up for it. But if you're going to pay up for it and there's only so many ways people search for it, you got to be there. But it sounds to me like you got to have high conversion rates to make this thing work. So that's what you want to do. You want to target those common sense keywords, urgent care, emergency clinics. What are you wanting to avoid with your ad groups?
Yeah, this is where I'll talk to two groups of people. Group number one, I'm going to talk to the business owner. And business owner, do not go after terms like broken legs, high fever, symptoms of flu, heart attack. Things like this are symptoms. This is symptom-driven keyword. And this is the same reason why I don't suggest plumbers going after "my toilet is clogged." You don't go after symptom keywords. And I'm using the word symptom not because this is a medical discussion, but because this is a term used in AdWords or PPC. It's symptom keywords are going to be expensive, high funnel, not valuable terms. They're not going to convert at a high rate. What you're going to want to do is go after terms that are lower funnel, terms that incite the fact that someone's looking for an ER right now. That's what they need. They don't need an ER if they're trying to diagnose whether they have the flu or not. They haven't made the decision yet to call the ER. Don't spend $15 on that click. It's not worth it. That's probably the biggest mistake that I see a lot of people do. So group two is AdWords managers out there that are working for the owner. Don't let the client push you into going after these terms because I want to catch them before my competitors see them, before they do that search. It's not worth it. I don't have to be an expert in urgent care to know that this won't work. Jason, you could apply the same thing to movers, to any industry, and it does not work if it's a high competitive industry to try and beat them before they can get to the punch. It's ineffective.
Chris, I had strep throat a few years ago, and I can guarantee you the two nights before I finally decided to go to urgent care, my throat wasn't as bad as the day I decided, and I was probably doing searches like strep throat symptoms, how do you know if you have strep throat, and if I would have seen ads there, maybe I would have clicked on them, but I was not going to urgent care that day. Finally, when I searched 3 days in and I needed help that day, that instant, I was searching urgent care. So I get what you're saying about not targeting those early in the funnel keywords. Do you have like under 10 ad groups in a lot of your urgent care campaigns?
Good question. Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, we've talked about this before, and I think we actually have an episode coming up scheduled that's going to talk about the different way that you can take a campaign from lots of ad groups to less ad groups. But this is because of the way that I build my campaigns and the way that I'm running some of my urgent care clients is there's less ad groups because I don't need a keyword per ad group. That's not how I'm going to run the campaign. So in reality, I'd say definitely less than 10 per campaign because like we've harped about, there's not a whole lot of variety. You don't need 300 ad groups.
I've only run one of these accounts in the past, and I took over the account from the client. It was not something I built myself. I just took it over and started managing it. We had two ad groups. One was like emergency clinic or something like that. The other one was like urgent care. So we had emergency clinic keywords in one ad group, urgent care keywords in the other. And I was early on in my AdWords career, so I thought I was smarter and I thought I needed skags and all that kind of stuff. So it was hard to just accept two ad groups, but I had to accept it because it was working so well. It worked great. Now, Chris, you covered the kinds of keywords we want to target. You make a point to say that geo keywords are super important. They're better than non-geo. So Dallas emergency room is better than emergency room. And you also make a point to say near me keywords are perfect, basically. But with that said, what are you doing with match types? Are you targeting all three types? You and I have been proponents of playing with fire before. Sometimes we do pure broad keywords. Do you do them in this case? What are you doing with match
types? Yeah, match types, I'm going with the holy trinity of modified, broad, phrase, and exact. You know, that's what I'm going to stick with. I'm going to leave broad alone unless the client just loves wasting money and they just want to see $10,000 spent a month, which I'm saying that ironically, but I've seen it. I've literally seen people say, listen, we have this much money to spend. We need to spend it because someone up the chain loves to see those analytics and they love to see 4,000 visits a month. And if we don't have those 4,000 visits in our analytics, someone's going to be mad and someone's going to get fired. So I've literally seen cause and effect of bad management up top leading to wasted broad display, stupid campaigns like this that just spend tens of thousands of dollars simply because someone likes those numbers. So, in reality, yeah, I stay away from broad keywords, strictly going with the modified broad phrase and exact. And that's because I don't want to get outside of that low funnel stuff. You know, I don't want to do like vet emergency hospital. I want to go after emergency room Dallas, you know, and that's what will happen with broad match. You'll end up getting animal stuff, pet stuff, neutering, spay, stuff like that. I mean, that's going to creep in with broad match.
And you were able to spend the money when you turned on pure broad match.
Yeah. I need
no problem.
Every urgent care clinic I have, I need more money. I always need more money. It's not a matter of, hey, I don't know what to do with all this extra money I have. No, there's always more demand, especially we're beginning October now. It's beginning. Do you realize the flu season starts around like October and goes all the way to like towards spring of next year? That's how long flu season lasts.
I'm not a dad, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, we it's crazy. What happens to the urgent care clinics is they see this swamping of people coming in, especially like beginning of the year, January, February, stuff like this, the flu season. It starts coming in and it starts going crazy. So there's not really a safe time when you're going to just have tons of money. You know, I mean, even in the holiday times, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be plenty of volume.
So, Chris, we know you're all man. You are a man. You will bidder by default. Usually that's your thing. Most of the time you're doing manual. Sometimes you do automatic. You told me you do manual for these campaigns a lot. I think the number one way you could help out people listening, and I think people listening would, this is the number one thing they're interested in because it's not data that's easy to get if you haven't done it before. What kind of cost per clicks are we looking at? How much should they bid? What's the average cost per click going to come in at?
Yeah. Listen, when it comes to bids, here's my thoughts. And Jason, I love your two cents on this because this is not really urgent care specific, you know, because this has more to do with budget. When I choose bids, I don't just choose bids arbitrarily. I choose my bids based on how much budget I have. If the client comes to me with a campaign with a wide radius, they insist on a 30, 40 mile radius, I have $1,000 to spend a month, I am not going after first position. Okay. So I choose my bids based on how much budget and availability I have. This is not anything new. This is not because this is urgent care. This is just good bid and budget equalization. That's pretty much what it comes down to for me.
Most clicks, most leads possible for the budget. If you have more inventory to go after, that's way bigger than your budget, you can get away with lower positions.
Yeah. It's a matter of supply and demand. Again, if I don't have enough budget, I'm not going to spend $15, $20 on a click. And that, and, you know, depends on where you are. But, you know, some places you might spend $6 a click. I've worked for companies in, you know, outside of large areas, and they're spending $10, $15 per click. So, you know, it goes back and forth.
So if you're doing a lower bid strategy, position 2 to 3, you're in a less competitive metro, you're saying you can get away with $10 to $15.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, say you're in Los Angeles, Houston, Miami, you're wanting to be position mm-hmm. one. You're trying to spend your full budget. What are we looking at there?
$20 bids probably to maintain a high position, you know, but all it takes is that one jerk that's going to keep bidding against you.
Yeah, all it takes in a war is one. The guy who's right under you dictates your cost per click.
Yeah, basically. I could say 20, but it could take 30, at least on bids. I'm not saying you're going to spend that much, but it may take a $30 bid in order to get first position, because all it takes is somebody else who's going to keep bidding up and trying to get in first position as well. Been there plenty of times. You know, it's always so difficult to know. But when it comes down to it, don't make a bad decision about going after first when you don't have the budget and finances to support that.
Okay, let's close here with the business goals, making the clinic money. Chris, I have an STD. No, I'm just kidding. Let's say I had an STD. Right. I'm not going to go to a website that I don't know and go to their little form and give my name, my phone number, and email and say I have herpes. Yeah. Or if someone is having a mental issue and they need help, they're not going to go in the form and describe their mental or emotional issue if that can get tied back to them.
I've broken my spine. Please contact me as soon as possible. Oh.
Well, I'm thinking of things like sensitive things.
Oh, sensitive things, sure.
Depression, STDs, even one like fatigue, Chris. It's not good for someone's reputation or career. It's not. Maybe this isn't right, but this is the way of the world. To say this person has fatigue issues, mm-hmm. because then people think, well, is that someone I want to hire? Is that someone I want to make my CEO? Whatever. So people are just very sensitive, rightly so, about their medical information. I don't see a lot of forms being filled out with a client like this. Is that an accurate prediction, basically?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, it's going to come down to one thing that you can track.
So it's all about phone calls.
Yeah, it's going to be down to one thing that you can track and one thing you can't track. Unless you can come up with a more creative solution than me. The first thing you can do that you can track that will help you get conversion tracking is phone calls. Track the phone calls in your ads and track the phone calls on your website. That's the easiest thing. That's going to be probably 80% of your leads. The rest of them you can't track. That's going to be people that are coming directly to your facility. It's really, and Jason, unless you know some kind of miraculous method, I've never been able to properly find a way to track someone who clicks on an ad, drives to your facility, and then shows up. You can't assign a click number to a person showing up unless there's some kind of coupon way, or, you know, maybe you give them a coupon online and they use that, but it's not reliable. But yeah, it basically, for an AdWords manager, it comes down to phone calls. That's your number one priority.
Given these cost per clicks, given the nature of this business, I would feel, as long as my search terms report was mm-hmm. right and I could back it up with a great search terms report, I would feel totally confident showing a client a conversion rate of 1% or worse. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding. I would feel totally comfortable showing a client a reported cost per conversion of hundreds of dollars. Because that's me, Chris. If I go to an urgent clinic website and it says 24/7, or it says open until 8 p.m. and it's 4 p.m., and it's close to, all I want to know is, are they open, and where? What are the directions? That's all I want to know. I'm not calling in. I'm just not doing it, because I know they take my standard insurance. All I need to know is, are they open, and where are they located? So I can see a huge percentage of the traffic, quote unquote, bouncing off the page and still becoming a paying customer. Yeah. So I think that's something for every AdWords manager out there to know, and business owner who's running their own ads. This is not an industry to focus on conversion rates or cost per conversion. This is an industry to focus on search terms,
traffic quality,
and traffic. Yeah. And then tracking, like a real business owner does, that how did your sales grow when you implemented your AdWords?
Exactly.
Because there's just a massive amount of untrackable patients you're going to get from this kind of campaign. Yeah. So, Chris, as always, you make it sound easy, but I know it's not. So I thank you for breaking it down with clarity and wisdom. As always, this show is brought to you by directiveconsulting.com. We thank them for sponsoring today's episode, and we recommend you guys check out their website, get a free custom proposal. Chris, have you ever played a centaur in either like a play or a paid acting gig? Do you know what a centaur is?
I do. It's the horseman thing, right?
It's a half horse, half man.
No.
And if I've ever seen anybody that can strut around on four horse legs and have a nice busty chest and great facial structure of a human head, it's you. So you're my little show pony.
No,
you're my show pony, my show pony, my show pony. You're my little centaur. And I've never seen your legs. So this whole time, I think you could have been, have the torso of a man and the body of a horse.
Oh,
Chris, I know what being called a show pony must feel. Actually, I don't know, but I can imagine.
I didn't know.
And I imagine you did not work this hard in your career, start your own business, be self-employed for a decade, be one of the top AdWords managers on the planet, all to be called a show pony on YouTube. So this is not where it ends for you, Chris. I am officially starting and ending this show pony thing in the same episode. I will never call you a show pony again.
Good.
That's it. We're retiring it with this episode. I know it's incredibly disrespectful, and I thank you for always showing up here every Thursday, and these shows come out on Monday. So everyone, thank you for listening to the Paid Search Podcast. We do a side show, the PPC Questions and Answers show. It's on iTunes. It's on YouTube. Or no, it's not on YouTube, but it's on iTunes. It's on all the podcast players. We are here to answer your specific AdWords, Google Ads questions. You can go to paidsearchpodcast.com to the contact page, and we will answer those questions there on that other show. And then we will be back every Monday on YouTube and iTunes and all the podcast players with the next episode of the Paid Search Podcast.